Psalm 100. Psalm 100. Is this yours? I was telling Kathy, I had no peace about anything to preach. I mean, I had two or three messages I had, and they're all on the computer, but there's none that ever made it to a piece of paper. And then I decided, I said, you know, let me just start reading some Psalms. And I read Psalm 100, and I stopped. It was the first one. I just opened my Bible with the Psalms. I was looking for a message. And so I need your prayers tonight, because I'm still unsettled about the whole thing. And I've asked God to help me to preach this message. Because to me, when I look at Psalm 100, I see so much in there. And I don't know if I could ever touch the hem of the garment. So we're going to look at it. We're going to look at Psalm 100, but I just ask you to pray with me right now before we get started. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for the Bible. I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you, Lord, that we have a sure hope, foundation, and Lord, that we have the truth. So, Father, I pray that tonight you'd help me to preach a message here out of Psalm 100. It's a psalm of praise. It's a song of praise to you, Lord. And I pray, Father, that our hearts would be filled with praise, that our hearts would be moved to do the things that the psalm talks about. So, Father, I ask you to help me, Lord. And I pray, Father, that you would speak to the hearts of the people. Thank you for the words that are in this psalm that could stir our hearts to praise you and glorify you in a greater way, Lord. So I just ask you for help tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 100. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness, and come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And His truth endureth to all generations. What a great psalm. Five verses that have so much truth in them. And we have a lot to be thankful for as a people. I mean, in every way, in every day, God blesses His people in such a great way. You know, it is the will of God that all people praise Him. That this whole earth would praise Him. And that's what it says in verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. That Jews and Gentiles and all people would praise God and sing to the Lord. But sadly, that's not the case, is it? That's not the case. People don't praise the Lord. You know, even the unsaved should bow the knee to the One who gives them so many good things. They don't know Him. But they will bow the knee someday. Romans 14:11 says, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Everyone's going to have to give an account to God someday. God is good to all people. Philippians 2:10 says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, whether in heaven, whether things in the earth, whether things under the earth, will all open their mouths and praise the Lord Jesus Christ. That at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee should bow and tongue confess that He is Lord. God is good to everyone. You know that? God is good to everyone, even the unsaved. Nobody escapes God's goodness. Matthew 5:40, we'll turn there to Matthew chapter 5. I was going to read it, but I wanted to add the verse before it now. Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 44. Matthew 5 and verse 44 says, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. You know, God doesn't treat people the way people treat Him. God is good to people. The farmer that is unsaved and doesn't bless God or care about God, the sun comes up on his field just like it does on the Christian farmer. And the rain comes down on both fields, doesn't it? God is good to everyone. He's a good God. And He wants us to be the same way. He says we're supposed to be the same way. We ought to treat people the same way God does. Treat them good. Bless our enemies. God is mocked and scorned today, and He's not believed. People laugh. And they say, where's the promise of His coming? When's He going to come back? Everything's the same as it always has been. Where's God? Well, 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's why everything is as it is, because God is waiting and waiting and waiting in His long-suffering and in His goodness and in His mercy for one more person to get saved. And He waits and He waits for men to turn around from their pitiful condition and see themselves lost. He's a good God. He's a great God. There should never be a moment in all of creation that somewhere somebody isn't praising the Lord. Now look at Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Look at verse 38. Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. That's what they were screaming and crying out. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto Him, Master, rebuke Thy disciples. And He answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Somewhere, somebody's got to be praising God on this earth. At all times, He is receiving praise. If not, the stones are going to open their mouths and cry out to the glory of God because He deserves praise. Creation would speak if men didn't. If men didn't praise God, creation itself would cry out to the praise of God. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. 1 Peter 4:11. It says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. How long is that praise going to go on? Forever and ever. It will never cease, it never has, and it never will. God will never cease to be praised. Look at Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 8 says, and the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Night and day, forever and ever, they cease not to say, Holy, 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 as they fly about that throne. So we, as His children, as the sheep of His pasture, should never hesitate to be praising God. Don't hesitate to praise the Lord, especially when the Spirit of God is prompting praise in you. Make sure you praise the Lord. That is the will of God, that He be praised all the time, everywhere. Now look back in Psalm 100. Psalm 100, and look at verse 2. It says, serve the Lord with gladness and come before His presence with singing. Serve the Lord with gladness. You know, when I look at some verses in the Bible, sometimes I find that the word serve and the word worship can be kind of interchanged. What you serve, you kind of worship. You respect it and you honor it and you reverence it. And what you worship, you serve. So here, when I look at this, serve the Lord with gladness, I think we should also worship the Lord with gladness. Because whether you're serving something or serving someone, you're in a sense worshiping it. You're worshiping it. You're giving it honor and respect and reverence to it. And the Bible says we are to serve the Lord with gladness and to come before His presence with singing. You know, it shouldn't be a drudge to serve God. It shouldn't be a drudge to worship the Lord. In everything that we do, we should be happy and glad and cheerful. We should have gladness when we serve the Lord. Now, that's not always the case, I know. But for the most part, we should be reminded just how great and how good God is, and that we get the opportunity to serve Him and to worship Him, and we should do it with a glad heart. Look right across the page there at Psalm 95. Psalm 95 in verse 1 says, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence. The same words again. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. We serve a great God. And we ought to come and sing psalms and hymns unto Him because He's the rock. He is our rock. And I want to take that one word and just do a little Bible study. I want to know, who is that rock? If you're here today, you don't know who that rock is, let's find out who the rock is. Because the Bible says, let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Go back to Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17. You know, Moses has taken the children through the wilderness. They've crossed the Red Sea. And here they come, and they're at Rephidim. And there's no water to drink. And the people are thirsty. And in verse 4, they're crying out to Moses. And in verse 4 of chapter 17, and Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. You see that? Behold, God said, I will stand before thee there on that rock. Now, I don't know how many people, they probably didn't see it, but God said, I'm going to be there. When you smite that rock, I'm going to be standing on that rock in Horeb. Just who are we talking about? Who is it talking about? Turn to 2 Samuel 22. 2 Samuel chapter 22. We ought to make a joyful noise under the rock of our salvation. 2 Samuel 22, look in verse 1. 2 Samuel 22, verse 1. And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock, the God of my rock. In him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower, and my refuge, my Savior, thou savest me from violence. Look at verse 31. Verse 31, As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried, and He is a buckler to all them that trust Him. For who is God, save the Lord? And who is a rock, save our God? Look at verse 47. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation. Whew, I didn't think rock was in the Bible so much. Who is this rock? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Who is it that we're to make a joyful noise unto, the rock of our salvation? Here's an account again of what took place in the wilderness. Paul relating this to the church at Corinth, and he says in verse 3, And they did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock, capital R, that followed them. And that rock was Christ. So when you sing praises to God, when you make a joyful noise unto the Lord, it's unto Jesus Christ. And He's the rock, capital R, of our salvation. He's the foundation upon which we stand. No wonder we come in, and the first thing that we do is sing praises to Him. Well, I wonder that when we come in, we should have a smile on our face. And when John says, open up your hymnal, we ought to open up and sing unto the rock of our salvation with a capital R. It's Jesus Christ. It's Jehovah God that lived and died on the cross, and He's alive again today. I think that's wonderful. Jesus Christ is the rock. You know, the church is built on the rock. He said, upon this rock. We certainly know He wasn't talking about Peter now, don't we? He was talking about Himself and the fact that He was the Messiah. And He's right now, and He's in our presence right now, and we should have come with a joy in our hearts to sing praises unto Him. The Bible says, come before His presence with singing. Come before His presence with joy. Our hearts should always be set to praise God. Should always be set. Turn to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. You know, when you think of the message this morning and those three little words, it is finished, it's just over and over again. I just can't believe what God did for us. You know, I mean, it was all wrapped up in the cross. All that He did for us. It is finished. I don't have anything else to do. I don't have anything to do. He did it all for us. He's the rock of our salvation. In John chapter 16 and verse 13, it says, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me. For He shall receive of Mine and shall show it unto you. Our hearts should always be set to praise Him, but make sure that that praise is always led to the Spirit of God. That we should know what we're doing when we're praising Him and how we're doing it. Spirit-led worship is one that exalts Jesus Christ and not man and not the flesh. Always exalts Jesus Christ. The ministry of the very Holy Spirit Himself is to exalt Jesus Christ and not Himself. He wants to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Not man, not even Himself. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Look at John chapter 17 and in verse 9. If that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit, I wonder what our ministry should be. John chapter 17, verse 9 says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given Me. He's talking to His Father. For they are Thine, Father. And all Mine are Thine. And Thine are Mine. And I am glorified in them. Jesus Christ wants to be glorified in His children, in His people, when they praise Him. And our life and our worship should glorify Jesus Christ. Let us remember to serve Him with gladness. You remember what it said back in Psalm 100? In verse 2, it said, serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. And He really deserves nothing less. And you know, really, it's a sin when we get murmuring and complaining and we lose our joy and our service becomes drudgery. Oh, I'm sick of myself when that happens. I want to serve the Lord with joy. I want to be happy. I want to be cheerful. Look at Psalm 51. Look at Psalm 51. David committed a great sin. But he had great repentance. And he got right with God. And you know what some of us need to do? We just need to get right with God. We have sin in our life. And we can't praise God. And there's no gladness in our heart. There's no gladness and joy in our service. Because there's sin in our life. And if we just got right with God, we could get glad. Right, Jennifer? We could be happy. Jennifer's the happy lady. She tells us to be happy all the time. And we should. And when I came to this, I thought of Jennifer. We need to be glad. Look what David says in Psalm 51, verse 8. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which Thou hast broken may rejoice. Again, he doesn't say, look what he doesn't say. Make me to have joy. He doesn't say that. He says, make me to hear joy. I'm not hearing from You anymore, God. I don't hear joy anymore in my life. I don't have joy, but I don't even hear it. I have nothing. No communication with God anymore. I think I do, but I don't. There's no joy in my life. He says He wants gladness back in His life. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which Thou hast broken may rejoice again. Get right again with God. Look in verse 11. Cast me not away from Thy presence, and take not Thy Holy Spirit from me. Verse 15. Open, Lord. O Lord, open Thou my lips, and Thy mouth shall show forth Thy praise. My mouth will show forth Thy praise again to You. The reason we can't praise God is because there's sin in our life. We have no gladness. There's no joy in our heart. Get right with God. Repent. And you'll have the joy of the Lord back in your life. Sin blocks our fellowship with God. And we cannot serve the Lord with gladness. when we have sin in our life. Turn to 2 Chronicles 29. Second Chronicles 29 and in verse 28. It says to sing, sing, make a joyful noise. Look at in 2 Chronicles 29, verse 28. And all the congregation worshipped. And the singers sang. And the trumpeters sounded. And all this continued until the burnt offering was finished. And when they had made an end of offering, the king and all that were present with him bowed themselves and worshipped. Moreover, Hezekiah the king and the princes commanded the Levites to sing praise unto the Lord with the words of David and of Asaph the seer. And they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed their heads and worshipped. Over and over and over again. In order to worship God, you must come before His throne with gladness and joy and singing praises unto Him. And let me say, they weren't singing the world's songs either. This wasn't drummed up from out there. This came from inside. And they were singing the words of David and Asaph. They were singing Scripture back to God. And God was very pleased with that. He was being worshipped. God-honoring, sacred music is what should come out of our lips. What are you listening to? What kind of music are you listening to at home? So that when you come in, the hymns just don't make it. They just don't get you excited. Well, guess what? The hymn's not for you. The hymn is for God. And you ought to sing it from your heart. And it should be a joy to sing that Scripture back to God. Because when you get a good hymn book, there's more Scripture in there than some of the new Bibles. There's more Scripture in the hymnals. We ought to sing praise to God. But if we're hearing a bunch of worldly music outside, we're not going to come in here and sing these hymns from our heart. We won't. They'll be boring to us. A steady diet of the world's music destroys your worship. You can't sing to the Lord with gladness in your heart. What are you listening to? And who do you worship? What I mean by that is, what is consuming your time? What do you spend the most time doing? Because that's your God. Whatever has your time and your talent and your treasure, that's your God. Be careful about where you're spending too much time or where you're spending all your money. Or who gets all your talent and just all your time. That's your God. Start spending time with Him. Start spending time with the Lord. Worship the Lord. Serve the Lord. Look back in Psalm 100. And do it with gladness. Look back in Psalm 100. In verse 3 it says, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." I direct your attention just across the page to Psalm 95, verse 6. It says this, "O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker." Who's our Maker? He is. We didn't make Him, although people think they can make Him and put Him in a little box and make their little God that they'll worship. But no, He made us. And we're to worship Him. Turn to John chapter 4 now. John chapter 4, real familiar verse of Scripture. John chapter 4 and verse 23. "Where seeketh such to worship?" Do you know who initiates worship? God does. God is the one that initiates the worship. When you begin to worship God, God is drawing you close to Him by His Holy Spirit. He's drawing that worship. He wants to be worshipped by His people. He is seeking such to worship Him. He's looking for people who will worship, bow down, sing praises to Him, serve Him. He's looking for those people. We should be those people. We should be those people. Not according to the flesh, but by the influence of the Holy Spirit in our life. Spirit-led worship always honors and glorifies Jesus Christ. Always. Always. How well do you know God? You can't worship God. You can't worship a God you don't know. He's worshipped in spirit and in truth. I hope you have the Holy Spirit in you. I hope you're saved here tonight. The Holy Spirit's in you now. How much He has of you, that's between you and God. But do you even know God? You know, you can be saved and know very little about God. You can want to learn more about God, and the more you learn about God, the more you say, He's the Lord. He is my Maker. He's holy. He's merciful. He's good, and He's gracious. Teach me how to worship You, Lord. Show me how to worship You. Because I want to know how to worship You. How much time do you spend trying to know Him? How much time do you read your Bible every day? You think that's just some thing the pastor likes to say over and over and over again? Read your Bible, that it doesn't really mean anything? It means a whole lot. This is our Christianity right here. This is how we learn to be a Christian. This is how we learn to worship God. This is what the Holy Spirit's going to use to show you how to worship your God. Right here. How much time did you spend in it this week? I'll tell you, by the amount of time you spend in it, that's how much time you worship God. If it was a little, then you worship God very little. And when you come in on Sunday morning, it shows. It shows. And I'm not talking about falling down on the ground and all that stuff. I'm talking about just having a real reverence for God. A real desire to be there. Look at John chapter 17 again. John chapter 17 and in verse 7. And verse 7 says, Now they have known that all things whatsoever Thou hast given Me are of Thee. For I have given unto them the words which Thou gavest Me. For I have given unto them the words which Thou hast given Me. And they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from Thee, and they have believed that Thou didst send me. 14, verse 14. I have given them Thy word, and the world hath hated them. Because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world, I pray not that Thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that Thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. As Thou hast sent Me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify Myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on Me through their word. Do you see that? Do you see that? Jesus said, I gave them Your word, Lord. I gave them Your word, Father. Why did He give them the word? To sanctify them and set them apart from the world. But look in verse 20. He says, Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on Me through their word. The word that you find, that you get from God, the word that you read every day is the word that you should be committing to people out there in the world so that they can know God and they can worship God so they can be saved. You see? It's not all about us. It's about God. And the more people that we can draw in to worship Him, He likes that. That's why He committed the word to us. That we might have an impact on the world. That we might be different from the world. People would see that. That we can draw them to a God so they can worship Him in spirit and truth. The same way we do. Because God is a jealous God. He doesn't want anybody else to get the worship. And they shouldn't get the worship. He alone deserves the worship. He doesn't want anybody else worship. He's God. He's the Maker. He created us. We didn't create Him. And it is our ministry to go with the word that He gave us and tell them so that they can start to worship God also in spirit and in truth. We have a Bible. What we know, we should help others to know. David said that when he fought Goliath. He said, the reason I'm doing this is that all the earth may know that there's a God in Israel. That's the whole point of this. You defied the living God. Now we're going to make sure that the whole world knows that there's a God in Israel. We ought to know the God we worship. In 1 Peter 3:7, it talks about husbands, dwell with thy wives according to what? Knowledge. You better know your wife. You better know what she likes, what she doesn't like. You better know her so that you can minister to her. Well, we ought to know God so that we can serve God. I should know more about God than I know about my wife. I should know Him intimately and love Him. John 15 is all about abide in Me and let My words abide in you. I want a close relationship with you, He said. I want you to be so close to Me. I want My words to be in you and you being me. That's how we should know God. Our relationship must be first understood that He created us for His pleasure. And you all know Revelation 4:11, that everything was created for His pleasure. It was and is created. So nothing's changed. God's purpose for creation has never changed. It's always been the same. That His creation would worship Him. Would worship Him. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We should know that. If we're Christians, we should know that we are to worship the Lord. And to know Him. And know how to worship Him. We should know that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 14, it says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto them which died for them, unto Him which died for them and rose again." Like we learned about again this morning, the great resurrection. We're not to live for ourselves. We should know that. If you're a Christian here today, you ought to know that. That I'm not to live for myself. I should know that I'm living to serve Him. I shouldn't live for myself anymore. I should live for Jesus Christ. We ought to know that. Are you still living for yourself? Is everything all about you? Are you still selfish and concerned about what's in it for me today? Lord, what are you doing for me? I guarantee you'll never be satisfied. I'll never be satisfied when it's all about me. It's the worst place to be when all we care about is ourselves. We care about God and start being concerned about my ministry for Him and serving Him and loving Him and worshiping Him and singing for Him and glorifying Him. And it becomes so satisfying and so filling. And we've all been down that road before, where we're withdrawn and we thought the whole world's collapsing in on us. And we get a complaining spirit. It just blocks our worship to God. See it for what it is. It's sin. It's not about us. We should not henceforth serve ourselves, but Him who died for us. Serve the Lord. Look at Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. Romans 14:7 says, "For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself." So, apparently we're to have an influence on others. Because our whole life is out there in the world, or even as we're here amongst each other, we're influencing each other all the time. I'm not living in a little box. I'm living amongst people all around me all the time. They see my life and I see theirs. And we're an influence to them. We ought to be concerned about others. We ought to be concerned about others. It matters greatly to God. I can tell you that much. It matters greatly to God who we're serving and how we're serving God and how we're serving others. It matters to Him, though it may not matter to us. Look in John chapter 10, because the verse talked about we are the sheep of His pasture. We're His sheep, back in Psalm 100. Look at John chapter 10. Aren't you glad you have a great shepherd? What a wonderful shepherd we have. But we are His sheep. John chapter 10 and verse 14, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, praise God, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." Verse 27 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." He's a great shepherd. In fact, 1 Peter 5:4 says He's the chief shepherd. The under-shepherd of this church, pastor, but He's the chief shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. And we're His. And we gather around Him, and He takes care of us, and He protects us, and He certainly gives us good pasture. He takes care of us. You see? We're His sheep. Matthew 22. Matthew 22. "Know ye the Lord, He is God." Matthew 22, verse 37 says this. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Matthew 22:37. I would just submit to you, how can you love somebody you don't know? I mean, we're supposed to know the Lord. Know you the Lord. He is God. Do you know Him tonight? Because you can't love somebody you don't know. Don't say you love God and then never read His Bible. If you love Him, you'll read His Bible and learn more about Him so you can love Him more and more and more. Do you even have a desire to know? Do you even have a desire to know Him? Philippians 3:10, Paul said, that I may know Him. That I may know Him. Power of His resurrection, made conformable unto His death. He wanted to know Christ in a greater way. Do you want to know Him? Back in Psalm 100, verse 4, it says this, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. I just say, be thankful. Be thankful. When you come into His gates, when we come together to worship God, we ought to come a thankful people. But frankly, God has done everything for us and we've done very little for Him. When we think about it, we have so much to be thankful for. We come to worship Him with a grateful heart. And be very careful, as I say over and over again, of a complaining spirit. The more we complain, the farther we get away from God. The more we complain. And a complaining spirit forgets the goodness of God. You want to get rid of a complaining spirit? Get on your knees and thank God for the clothes on your back and the food in your stomach. Thank Him for your family. Thank Him for His Bible. Thank Him for a great Savior. And you'll stop complaining. You'll start to remember how good we got it. God's been very good to me. And when I complain, I know now it's sin. And it's taken me farther and farther away from God. Don't complain and don't murmur. Always remember what He did for you. Look at Psalm 40. Look at Psalm 40. I think I know why I'm preaching this message now, for me. I mean, I'm getting something out of it. Psalm 40, in verse 1, says this, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God, and many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. I wonder how many people can look at your life and see how much you love God and how much you're thankful for what God's done in your life. Because they'll see that. And they may want to know who that God is that you serve. Just remember the pit that you were pulled out of. When people get saved at a young age, 5, 6, 7 years old, I'm so thankful you don't have to go through all those scars that you have in the back of your mind and all the things, you know, that you went through. When you get saved at 35 years old, when you get saved at 5, 6 years old, and you're innocent, you're young, and you get saved, that's wonderful. Just absolutely wonderful. But know this, Jesus still had to die on the cross that you saw this morning. He still had to die that death for you because you're a sinner. It took just as much grace to save a 5-year-old as it does a 35-year-old. Sin. So don't forget the pit that we're all pulled out of. Every one of us was destined for hell. That was our bent away from God the moment we were conceived. Away from God. But He saved us. He took us out of a pit. Look at Romans chapter 1. Look at Romans chapter 1. That's enough to get me straightened out. Just to remember that. That's enough to get me straightened out. To remember what Jesus Christ did for me. That night He saved me. Romans chapter 1, and in verse 18 it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Romans 1:18, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. They hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, They knew God. They glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. How far can just an ungrateful spirit take you away from God? It's amazing. You can doom yourself to hell with an ungrateful, unthankful heart. That should not be for the Christian. We should quickly be reminded of the pit that we were pulled out of. And say, thank you, Lord. You just reminded me again. I'm back. I'm sorry. I love you. No more complaining. No more complaining. It'll take you far away from God. Just not being thankful is a step into darkness. A step into darkness and vanity. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. You know, if your attitude is bad many times, because you've just forgotten to be thankful. And in Philippians chapter 2, look at verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke. So if you do it with murmurings and disputings, guess what? You're not blameless. You're not harmless. And you are should be open for rebuke. In the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Now how am I going to serve God with a complaining spirit? I can't. It's vanity. It's empty, worthless service when I serve God with a complaining spirit. And my light goes out. I'm no longer a light in a dark world. All because of an ungrateful spirit. We ought to enter His gates with thanksgiving. Be thankful. Turn to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. Keep your finger in Philippians if you didn't leave it already. I'm coming right back. But I wanted to show you in Psalm 107, verse 22. Psalm 107 and verse 22 says, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. It's a sacrifice. It's something we offer to God. Look at Psalm 116, verse 17. Psalm 116 and verse 17. I will offer to Thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. Bless His name. It's an offering to God. It's an offering to God. Now go back to Philippians chapter 4. Talking about entering His gates with thanksgiving. Having a grateful heart for what God has done. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 says, be careful for nothing. And that's what happens. We get all full of care and anxious and about things when we need to go to God. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. With a thankful, grateful heart. Let your requests be made known unto God. And what happens? The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Do you want peace in your life? Have a thankful heart. Have a thankful heart. Don't worry about things. Take it to God. And be thankful as you lift these things up to Him in prayer. And it says, and that peace of God, which passes all understanding, suddenly comes and floods your heart. Why? Because you're trusting in God and not yourself. You're not worried about it anymore. And neither is God, by the way. He's going to take care of it. Just give it to the Lord. The power of a grateful heart is that you can have peace again and not worry about anything. We ought to enter His gates with thanksgiving. And finally, back in Psalm 100, in verse 5, why are we doing all this? Verse 5 says, for the Lord is good. That's why. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. What a great God. Just because He's good. just because He's always good. Just because He's never been bad. God has always been good. He's good. That's what all the verses are saying. And then up in verse 5 it says, "For," here's why you're doing it, "the Lord is good." That's why we ought to make a joyful noise. That's why we ought to serve the Lord with gladness. That's why you ought to know that the Lord, He is God. That's why you ought to enter His gates with thanksgiving, because He's good. He's a good God. The character of the Lord demands our grateful praise just because of who He is. We come together with thanksgiving because He's good and He's merciful. Psalm 107 verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." 9 times that same phrase is used in the Bible, over and over again. Give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. His truth lasts forever. In Matthew 24:25, it says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but My word shall not pass away." It lasts forever. And finally, look in a couple more. Psalm chapter 12. Look in Psalm 12. Aren't you glad you have the truth? Aren't you glad that it can't go anywhere? It's right here in our Bible. Aren't you glad He's a good God, that He would give you His Word? Something that is absolute truth and it cannot pass away? In Psalm 12, and in verse 6, it says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." Forever we have God's Word. Forever we have that anchor for our soul, this book right here. We have them, and they're pure words. They're pure words that we can trust in. And every person in this generation has an opportunity to know God and to worship Him. No one's excluded. Everyone has the opportunity. But we should make our lives be so thankful and worship the Lord and be so grateful for what He's done for us that we can be a testimony to the people out there about how good our God is. Let me just show you 3 more scriptures in it. Psalm 96:9. "Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. He is holy. In the beauty of His holiness." I'll tell you, the character of God should cause us to praise Him just because of who He is. Worship Him in the beauty of holiness. Look at Psalm 99, verse 5. Psalm 99, verse 5 says, "Exalt ye the Lord our God and worship at His footstool, for He is holy." He's a holy, good, and merciful God. And He deserves our praise and our worship. Finally, in 1 John chapter 5, in verse 19 says this, "And we know that we are of God." Aren't you glad? "And the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know Him that is true. And we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." What a statement. I'm in Christ. I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm going to heaven. I have an understanding that we may know Him that is true. And we are in Him, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. So, what do I say? I should always be ready to praise the Lord. When I read Psalm 100, it's a song of praise. And I should just always be ready to praise God because He's a good God and He's done so much for us. And be thankful for all the blessings of God. It's been a long day, but it's been a wonderful day, hasn't it? Just full of blessings. I mean, the preaching this morning, and we all had our meals and been with family. Isn't God good? Isn't He really good to us? I mean, we have nothing to complain about. And when that complaining spirit comes over you, get on your knees, just start praising Him. Start praising Him because He inhabits the praise of His people. But make sure you say, "Lord, I'm sorry. You're a good God. I got nothing to complain about. And I don't want to have an ungrateful spirit. Thank You for what You did for me. Thank You for the pit You pulled me out of." So that when we come to Psalm 100, we ought to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Worship Him and serve Him and sing praise to Him. Know that He is God. Study this book and know that He is your Creator. You didn't create Him. Be thankful and remember what He did for you. Because the character of the Lord demands our praise. Think about that. What will you do with the simple, with these few simple things that we've learned out of Psalm 100? What will you do with that? Let's pray.